接吧接吧。
嗯
如果没有为人性的。
Yeah.
We do try and sleep your friends.
Yeah. Okay, so now since I started recording, I better talk. Nah.
Oh, no.
I just want to refresh your memory, which I don't have much right now. Yeah, but it's just enough. Okay, refresh your memory. That the couple image that was quite prominent in the dialogue of St. Catherine. Remember, one is about the vineyard that we have to tend the garden, Kimberley Garden, with the three virtues of charity like the root, humility like the soil, and then discretion like the circle around the soil. And then you have another image is the bridge, that Christ is the bridge, and then when people put their love and affection on worldly things, on creatures, it's like they are in the water beneath, and the water make them unstable and also lead to eternal death. So we can make the distinction of the people who walk on the bridge, they are the servants of God. And the people who are on the water below, they are the servants of the world. Now, when thinking about the servants of the world, of course, the devil invites people to the water of death with the pleasures and honor of the world, because we know we all desire for something good. So when the devil wants to tempt us to be on his side, he won't just appear as the devil and say, come and do evil, you know. He will have something that appears to be good and attractive to lead us to the wrong direction. So when the devil tempts people away from the path of virtues, he always wants to have something appear to be good. The pleasure, the riches, the honor of the world that led people into the trap of the devil. And quite often people would fall into those traps because of two kinds of failures. One is selfishness, and the other one is the fear of suffering. You know, sometimes people, out of fear, they can do so many silly things. You know, sometimes people can be the fear of being lonely, the fear of not having enough money, the fear of insecurity of your position, whatever. You know, the fear of suffering and selfishness are the two main reasons why people fall into the trap and the lies of the devil. So God the Father, regarding selfishness, he said, they have no concern for anyone but or anything but themselves. In other words, their love for themselves is sinful. And then he also mentioned, you know that every evil is grounded in selfish love of oneself. This love is a cloud that blots out the light of reason. It is in reason that the light of faith is held, and one cannot lose the one without losing the other. So, of course, selfishness, you know, lead people to abuse the grace of God. You know, God give people mercy, God show people mercy, and sometimes people, they use that to be a weapon against God himself, because they abuse the mercy of God. You know, they take advantage of the mercy of God, thinking they can do all kinds of evil things. They can just, you know, enjoy whatever they can enjoy on earth, and then as long as on the last moment they say sorry to God, they will be saved. So they want to take advantage of the mercy of God. They want to really just, you know, ignore their duty of repentance. Now, and also, of course, the other aspect is the fear of suffering. That some people, they are afraid of suffering, and so they, you know, turn away and turn into the trap of the devil. But, you know, God the Father point out that those people who want to escape suffering, they actually suffer more, you know. I think that last Sunday Mass I mentioned that. You know, that God the Father told St. Catherine, You know, if you remember last Sunday's sermon, is that the Sunday before or last Sunday? I forgot, you know, I'm getting old now. So anyhow, we cannot pass through the world without troubles, God the Father told St. Catherine. But you know, the servant of God and the servants of the world, they suffer differently. The troubles of the world can only harm the servants of God physically, but cannot harm them spiritually. Because the servants of God, you know, in their heart, they know to conform the will to the will of God. And so when they suffer patiently. So the suffering actually can gain merit for them, doesn't harm them spiritually. And also, you know, the servants of God, you know, because they don't put all their hope and love in worldly things, but on God himself, and so they also see things in the light of eternity. And so in the light of eternity, they can see that suffering is only as small as time. And from eternity, time is just like a point of the needle. So when time is over, suffering also over. And so they know that, you know, the suffering on earth is only last for a little while. And, you know, if we suffer with a patient heart, that will win for us the reward of eternal life, eternal reward. But the suffering, you know, for the people, the servants of the world, because they put their affection and love and hope mainly on earthly things. And so when they have troubles in the world, they suffer not only physically, but also spiritually, and especially spiritually. So basically, the suffering spiritually is mainly in two areas. One area is that because their heart so clings to creatures, in one way or another, you will lose them. Either you die or they die, or they, you know, people sometimes separate from one another, or things you get lost or got stolen. So when you lose what you cling, your heart really cling to, you know, the more your disorder love to possess, the more painful it's going to be. And then another aspect would be that only God can satisfy the heart, because we are created for God. Because our heart is created, the stuff of our heart is for love. And so we always long for love, but only God can truly satisfy that longing. And sometimes we have illusion thinking about creatures and can satisfy that. But actually, it's only an illusion. You know, I think the illusion we're thinking about, you know, when you are thirsty, you know, you see the water, that really can help your thirst. But some other thing, when you think of something else, there is, you can drink, but it will make you be even more thirsty. Some of the tea, some of the thing you drink, it makes you more thirsty. So sometimes the love for creatures, you know, seems to have the appearance to actually help you to be less thirsty, but actually need you more. So it's never satisfied. So that dissatisfaction is also another source of suffering for people who put their love and affection mainly on worldly thing. And I read that at Mass, you know, but I can read that once more, you know, that quotation about, you know, that people identify themselves with earth, you know, is when they lose what they identify with, it's way more painful. So God the Father explained to St. Catherine, do you want me to tell you why they suffer? You know that love always brings suffering if what a person has identified with is lost. These souls, in one way or another, have identified with the earth in their love, and so they have in fact become earth themselves. Some have identified with their wealth, some with their statues, some with their children. Some loosely in their slavery to creatures, some in their great indecency make rude feasts of their bodies. And so, in one way and another, they hunger for and feed on earth. They would like to be stable, but are not. Indeed, they are as passing as the wind. For either they themselves fell through death, or my will deprives them of the very things they love. They suffer unbearable pain in their loss, and the more disorder their love in possessing, the greater is their grief in loss. Had they held these things as lent to them, rather than as their own, they could let them go without pain. They suffer because they do not have what they long for. For as I told you, the world cannot satisfy them, and not being satisfied, they suffer. So that's, you know, about the twofold suffering of losing what they, you know, really hang on to, but also not being satisfied because of only God can truly satisfy the heart. Now, so that's, you know, the picture about the servants of the world. It's about the servant of the world. Now, we're talking about the servant of God. You know, God the Father has that image. That's the pupil of the eye and the eye itself. So you see, you know, in baptism, the pupil of faith is put into the eye of understanding. And so when a person has been baptized, reached the age of discernment, around the age of 7, when can tell right and wrong, the person must exercise themselves in virtue in order to keep the light of faith. You know, when we are baptized as babies, the theological virtues infuse into our soul, and we don't have to do anything. It infuses into our soul. That will sufficient to save us if we die before we reach the age of reason. So if a baby got baptized and died, or the baby goes straight to heaven, lucky. And but for people who reach the age of reason, the person, in order to be saved, need to have a living faith. You know, a faith that is also put into practice. And so when we reach that age of reason, you know, not only that the faith already infused into our soul, but in order to be saved, we have to put that virtues infused into our soul into practice. So we have to exercise ourselves in virtue. Now in this life, our conscience is being pulled into two directions. On the one hand, you know, you have the conscience, you know, to help you to be on the direction to Christ. And then also, on the other side, you have the lower instinct, the sensuality, want to lead you into the world. And so, you know, of course, you know, if you really want to walk on the bridge, have to make that decision to follow Christ and to move forward in the practice of virtue, to follow the conscience, rather than the lower instinct. You know, because it's constantly we have to make that decision. You make the decision continuously. You know, we have to renew that decision that we will follow the light of conscience, of sound reasoning, rather than our lower instinct. And for all the servants of God, for all those who walk on the bridge, all of them keep the commandments. But also all of them have to exercise what you call the evangelical counsel. Evangelical counsel, you know, something like poverty, chastity, obedience. Some would practice those counsel for will, materially. You think about the nuns who renounce all poverty. Take the vow of poverty, chastity, obedience. They actually follow the evangelical counsel materially. But others would follow the counsel in spirit. So those were people in the world, the laity, you know, they would get married, they would have poverty. But when they own poverty, they would see the poverty as being lent to them by God. You know, they won't hang on to their poverty. So there is a sense of detachment. Their main focus It's not on the material things or on creatures, but on God Himself. So I think that's sometimes it's a challenge when we see people that are really close to us. You know, it can be your children, your spouse, you know, it can be your parents, it can be your best friends, you know. You see them as lent to you by God. It's not that I own those people, but it's given to you by God. When you think about your most precious possession, your house, my bedroom in your house, you know, and the television for the youth group and elder group, you know, all those precious possessions, the relics, you know, as lent to us, but not that we own them. The relics of St. John, you know. So all those precious things, you know, dear to our heart, you know, we can think about that, you know, of people, you know, because we are created for love, of the thing that we really hold dear to us, the possession, our bank account included, you know, and then also our position, you know, for me, the pastor of Precious Blood, you know, that particular position, you know, for you, it can be the theological chairperson, you know, your position that you hold on to, the dear to your heart, you know, is lent to us. It's not our owning. You know, we don't own the position with that attitude. You know, all those things, it can be, because sometimes people, they will spend a lot of years trying to get a particular position. Sometimes people can spend lots of effort to try to get a particular property, you know, or a possession. You know, some people can spend years trying to get a good husband or good wife, you know, and have good children. You spend a lot of money to those things. But, you know, to have that attitude, to see that as something given to you by God, you know, and that you're actually not the real owner, but God is the one, I think that's important. You know, that when we actually exercise the evangelical counsel in spirit, you know. On the way of profession, you know, God the Father basically lets him have you know, either you practice the counsel materially for will, or you at least practice that in spirit. You know, that's important for us to grow in holiness. And so, for example, those who I mentioned already, who follow the evangelical counsel. Oh, I make so many mistakes in my article. I hope they correct that. In a poverty, in spirit, are those who possess riches with humility. They treat riches as things lent to them rather as their own. So we have to love God first. Our heart is created for God. And God make material things to serve rational creatures, not the other way around. So I think I did mention about one of the spiritual writer mentioned is much better as for rational creatures to distribute wealth, to give alms like a master, rather than to guard our wealth like a slave. And then also God the Father mentioned something like this, you know, created things less than the human person, and so we can really cannot satisfy, you know, and only God can satisfy us. And the important essence of eternal life is to possess what the human will longs for. We all created for God, we all long for Him, and so that fulfillment, you know, that being satisfied is one of the important joy of heaven. And now, one of the things about when we love God, you know, because as God mentioned that our soul cannot live without love, and we created for love. And then when we love God, and then when we love, we use the three powers of the soul. Power of the souls are the memory, the will, and also the understanding. And so when we use those three powers to love God, you know, decision to love God is really important. And Jesus mentioned in the Bible, Matthew Gospel chapter 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so God the Father explain this particular statement to St. Catherine of Siena. If you are a loner, you cannot, you know, have God, you know, basically. So what did he say? One alone is excluded from my companionship. Since I cannot be called in the midst of someone who has no companion. Those who are wrapped up in selfish love of themselves are alone, mere nothings, because they are cut off from my grace and from charity for their neighbors. So remember I mentioned early, evils, they come from being selfish. You know, if you are selfish, you are always alone, you know. You push people away. You just want me. But if you are, John Paul II tell us the path to happiness is not selfish. It's by self-giving love. So if you have self-giving love, you know, you think about other people. Of course, you will have friends. You have people that are able to be with you, you know. If you are always selfish, people doesn't want to be with you. You are by yourself. Or you push people away. So in that way, we also push God away. But if you have self-giving love, you know, of course, you can be friends with people. You can be close to people. And also you can show love to people. And then God the Father also say, two are not without three, nor three without two. Remember, two or three gathered together? You know, two and three, those two numbers. So God the Father say the two is symbolizing the two great commandments. To love God above all things, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. Those are the two. And the three are the three faculties, the memory, understanding, and will. So God the Father also explained on that and mentioned, the memory holds on to my benefits and my goodness to the soul. The understanding contemplates the infallible love which I have shown you by means of my only begotten Son, whom I have placed as the object of the vision of your intellect, so that in him you behold the fire of my charity. The will, finally, is joined with them to know and desire me, your final goal. So people from all vocations, all different backgrounds, are all called to love God and to love our neighbors. And people with selfish love, they possess creatures, or they love creatures apart from God. And so when they pass through earthly life, they are tormented, as I mentioned, because they suffer even more in the by the troubles of the world. And then they become insupportable even to themselves. And so God the Father said, those people who are on the water, if they do not rouse themselves, they will end in eternal damnation. The water doesn't lead to eternal life. So basically, you know, talking about people who serve God, they already taste, you know, the charity, the love of God here on earth. They experience communion with God and with other people because they self-giving love. And then here on earth, we cannot avoid having troubles in this life. Sometimes bigger, sometimes small. And people who serve God, when they have troubles, those troubles doesn't harm them spiritually. You know, because they know how to conform their will to the will of God. They know the sharpness of suffering. But people who don't love God, they put their hope and their trust and their affection mainly on the world, on creatures, they suffer even more already here on earth. And their suffering can be quite insupportable because they don't have the support of God. And then they pass through, you know, this life, you know, suffer because, you know, for them it will be hard to let go of creatures. But creatures have to go. Creature doesn't live forever. The people that we love, the material things that we hold on to, they won't last forever. And we don't last forever either. We will die one day. We have to let go of all those too. And then another one is that it's always dissatisfying because we are created to love God. If we don't love God, we always find it's dissatisfying. We will never satisfy us. So that's the picture we have, you know, about the servants of God and the servants of the world. And I talked for 25 minutes already. I better stop.